Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, and away we go on a lovely, delightful Saturday morning. Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. There's a myriad, which is a terrific word, a myriad of things that we have to get into today. I mean, obviously we're going to get into the Knicks and another loss to the Nets and the fact that I'm of the realization, I think you are probably as well, that this is going to be another long, drawn-out Knicks season, which is painful. We'll get there in a minute. We got the Mets. We got the Yankees. Yankees have the end of their season powwow, which is, listen, even if you're the biggest Yankees fan, if you have the capability of sitting there and listening to Cashman and Boone for an hour and 10 minutes, God bless you. Give me the cliff notes. Cliff notes are there's some injuries. Tanaka's elbow got cleaned up. Voit had surgery to his core. Aaron Hicks is the big one. He's going to have Tommy John out 8 to 10 months. Not going to spend huge money going after guys in free agency. And there you go. I just saved you an hour and 8 minutes off of your life. So Yankees have that this week. You're probably still smarting, especially having watched Houston in the first couple of games of the World Series. Now, last night, Houston was Houston. They were much better. Altuve did his thing. And you know what's amazing? Because I don't think a lot of us look at the regular season and say, this is typically the way this team's going to be, right? Like, you look at Houston in the regular season, their bullpen was good. But you thought to yourself, yeah, but when we get to the postseason, I don't trust Peacock. I don't trust Will Harris and Joe Smith and Osuna. I don't trust these guys. You know what? They've been terrific. And they were great again last night. Greinke, how about that? If I would have told you Verlander, Greinke, and Cole, which one is going to give you the best outing? Now, he only went 4 2/3. 95 pitches on 4 2/3. Didn't give you a long outing, but one run? Really, really good. So the bullpen comes in, settles it down. Houston wins 4-1. If Houston wins tonight, I still like Houston in the series. If Houston can find a way to win tonight, I have full confidence that they win the series. Even if they lose, I cannot imagine you're going to see bad Garrett Cole in game five. So you go five, then you go, it'll be Cole in five, then it'll be Verlander in six, and then I guess they'll figure it out for game seven, but I still like Houston in the series. And you saw a little bit of Washington coming back to life last night, just a tad. And Houston played much better baseball. So World Series game four tonight. All right, so tons going on. The Mets. And the Mets are very, very, very frustrating. Because I think you all wanted Showalter or Girardi, right? That's the guy. You're going to fire Mickey Callaway early on in his baseball tenure, second year. Doesn't make it past that. Fine. So if you're going to take a guy that you clearly didn't love, that learned on the job, that made mistakes along the way, you'd figure that the opposite of that would be, yeah, exactly, a guy that's been there, done that. A guy like Buck Showalter is a brilliant baseball mind. A guy like Joe Girardi, who's a long, savvy veteran of the game, who's won a World Series, who's been in the league for decade plus, right? That's what you would think. No, not the Mets. Tim Bogar. Oh, we like Eduardo Perez. Well, he was a terrific analyst in the booth for ESPN. Every time the Mets make a decision, you question, why are they making this decision? Why is it always that the Mets have to go in this direction of the, I don't understand. But that's what they are. And you know what's frustrating about it? You know they're going to do it. You know they're going to make the wrong move. And every time they do it, it gets you crazy. That's crazy on our part. You know they're going to hire someone that you don't want. Like Girardi's hired by Philadelphia, and it was a gut punch. It was as we were going on the air on, I guess it was Thursday morning, like 9:45, you see the news break across. You're like, oh, God. But you know it. You know it. It's like your kid has a big test in biology. He doesn't study for a second. He doesn't know what's happening, doesn't study, goes in, comes out, gets the grade, 67. And you're upset and you're disappointed and you're, why? Why? The Mets are the kid who's going into the biology exam that has not studied. So don't be surprised and don't be disappointed and don't be wowed. This is how it is, guys. Welcome. You wonder why the Mets fan complains? Why the Mets fan gets angry at the Yankees fan? Because this is what we are. We are an ill-prepared biology exam every single day. That's what we are. And that's what's so frustrating for the Mets fan, is that you know who the right hire is. Give me Joe Girardi. Give me Buck Showalter. Give me a guy who's been there, done that, who the opposite of Mickey Callaway. No. A guy that now has 2 years managerial experience. Let's get rid of him, and let's bring in a guy that has none. And listen, Beltran might be great. Eduardo Perez might be great. Bogar might be great. But wouldn't you like to have the definite just once? So we sit here, we're looking at the Yankees, and your big issue is what? Is your a player that you're locked into for 8 years is not what you thought he might be? I mean, your problems are nothing. Our problems are legitimate. Really, really legitimate. Now, expectations are different, and we got into that yesterday. Did the Yankees fail this season? It's hard for me to sit here and tell you the Yankees failed this season. Yankees were not ultimately victorious, but to go to Game 6 ALCS is difficult to say that they failed. They had a good season. They did not accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. I think that's very fair to say. It's disappointing. I think that's very fair to say. But let's not compare the functional, capable Yankees and the Mets. Because the Mets are going to have a rookie of the year. All-time home run record for a rookie in the history of baseball. Guy that was near the batting title and a Cy Young Award winner. And they couldn't make the postseason. They couldn't make a wild card. How about that, huh? All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get into the NFL. I could not believe what I saw on Monday night from the Jets, and we'll certainly get into that a little bit later. We do what we do on Saturdays. We got a frenzy at 9:45. We got Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. We got R.J. Bell at 11. So you know how it works. Appointment listening all through the morning. And then Anita Marks comes your way at noon, Scott Seidenberg at 3, and then 7 o'clock, the Knicks home opener. And let's go there. And that's where we are. And I'm watching the Knicks last night. And are they better than they were last year? Yes, they are a better basketball team than they were last year. But they're still not a very good basketball team. And I'm excited to watch some of these guys grow up a little bit. They still have a young team. Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett. And I think Barrett is going to be a good player. Like, he has shown you flashes in these couple of games that he's going to be a good basketball player. But, and I understand it. I do, and I'm not freaking out about it, and I'm keeping my composure. It's the biology exam all over again. You'd be foolish to look at the Knicks and say, I can't believe they lost these first two games. Of course you can. And they were competitive, and they were involved in the games. They just don't have the closer. They just don't have the point guard. And you saw last night, for better or for worse, probably for worse, why a guy like Kyrie Irving is worthy of that kind of money. And the Knicks don't have anything that's comparable to that. Because in the big moment, when the game is on the line, they know where they're going to go. And the Knicks have no idea. So you know what the truth is about the Knicks? An 800-919-3776. And they're going to win 27 games, or 30 games, or 32 games. And I'll be honest with you. And this is how I really, truly feel about this team right now. I have post-Durant Irving hangover. And you might hear that and say, well, that's not fair. But I do. And I'm being honest with you. Because I spent so much time invested in this is where it's going to go. We're going to wind up with these guys. I'm excited to be a relevant team. And the truth is, they're not. I mean, Julius Randle is fine. But they don't have a legitimate star player. They don't have a legitimate point guard. I mean, when your point guards are Elfrid Payton or Frank Ntilikina or Dennis Smith Jr. or hey, you, RJ, you never played? You take over the point guard reins. You don't have any. And right now, this Knicks team doesn't have a point guard. And in this league, you're not going to win a lot of games if from game in to game out, you don't even know who your starting point guard is going to be. I thought Dennis Smith would take that step, but clearly he is not. Clearly he is not at this point. So I think the most functional of a dysfunctional group to go with is probably Elfrid Payton. I think. Because I don't know what other direction you're going to go in. I don't see R.J. Barrett. Let R.J. Barrett learn the game, and then at some point, when he's capable, take over running the point. Or the point forward, or whatever you want to call it. But right now, I'm not ready for that. So that's where we're at the Knicks. But frustrating again last night. Look, you like to fight. You fell behind big to San Antonio. You came all the way back. You look like you might win. You fell apart in the fourth quarter. Same thing against Brooklyn. You fell behind big, big, big. You came all the way back. You thought you were going to win. Better player hits a big shot. That's what the Knicks are right now. And the thing that's frustrating for me is it's not about wins and losses right now. It's not. The Knicks are a team at this very moment. It's about development. But for the umpteenth year, it's about development. And that, to me, is what makes it kind of grinding and frustrating to be a fan of the New York Knicks. So it's all on the table. The Mets and their dysfunction. The Yankees and their disappointment. Not failure, disappointment. And, of course, the Knicks and the Nets. And you can start to feel a little bit of this. You know what? I'm a Knicks fan. And it seemingly, it feels like to me, I don't know if you feel the same way, enough of the Nets. I've had enough of the Nets and the Nets fans and the tweaking and the Kyrie Irving jersey giveaway last night. You know what? I'm actually at the point, I used to actually root for the Nets. Like if they played, like last year in the postseason, great. I was rooting for them against Philadelphia. I'm at the point where, you know what, enough. Which I guess is probably good for the rivalry. If you're a Knicks fan and you're starting to really dislike the Nets, then something there is cooking. And we're cooking. 800-919-3776. We got a whole bunch of NFL to get into. We got a frenzy at 945. Stump Rothenberg at 1030. RJ Bell at 11 o'clock. It's me and you all morning long. You know what it leads up to, by the way? Big playoff baseball game for my 13-year-old today. He's 12, but he's in 13U. Big playoff baseball game. First pitch, 1230. So if I'm a little more amped up than usual, that's the reason. Big, big game. And if we win that game, the quarterfinal game, we move on to the night game tonight, 7 o'clock, under the lights. So you understand, and you're along with me.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, let's see. I mean, let's get you guys back to the drawing board and see if that's something that you're capable of doing. Now, Stump Rothenberg, of course, brought to you by the illustrious, wonderful, sensational law firm of Andrew M. Cohen. I'll say about Andrew later, but I mean, the Lindbergh baby, he was involved in that. The Simpson case, the Nuremberg trials, all the big trials in older man, by the way. In the course of history, Andrew M. Cohen has been deeply involved in. So you should call him, and I'll tell you how you can at the end of Stump Rothenberg. All right, I'm going to take a deep breath. I feel pretty good today, I got to be honest. Last week, I think I was nothing shy of sensational. We'll see if we can continue that. One question, guys. I don't want multi-part questions. John in Hoboken. John, lead us off Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, how you doing? Question.
Good, John.
Okay.
Where are we going?
Against what? We're going baseball.
Okay.
Against what Major League Baseball team did Babe Ruth hit his first career home run?
All right, so, I mean, the obvious answer would be the Yankees. But we're not going, I'm not that, I'm working.
Okay.
Because that, you know, he's on the Red Sox. I'll guess the Yankees.
You are right, my friend.
That, my friends, is what we call 1-0 in the business. Kai, how do you feel like we're going to do? You feel confident? You feel like I'm not going to do great? How do you
feel?
No.
I feel like with the morning that we've had so far, you're just going to go 100%.
So now so typically you want failure from me, but today, knowing that we've had our struggles during the course of the show with the phones and all that, now you're on my side.
No, I wouldn't say failure, but I would, you know, I'm realistic, but I think today you're going to knock it all the way out the park.
All right, that's 1-0 as we continue along. Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's up, man?
What's up, Mike?
All right, you ready?
I think so. Where are we going? What's our topic?
Presidential history.
Okay, I'm pretty good with that, I think.
Okay, so who was the first American-born president?
Oh, that's a nice question.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering if it's Van Buren. No. I think it's Van Buren.
Is that your guess?
That's my. I think it's more than a guess. I think that's my answer.
And you are correct.
And I am correct. And I am correct. All right, that would be two.
See what I say?
I know you have a lot, you have confidence in me, which is delightful. 800-919-3776. So let's see. We go baseball to presidential history. Two for me, none for the opposition. All right, let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing, Dave?
All right, Mitch, I'm good. Where are we going?
I'm going to give you a nice knuckleball. If you miss this one, we're going to have to demote you. Uh-oh. How many basketball teams has the city of San Diego lost in a lifetime in the NBA? Thanks for taking my call.
Wait. What's the question?
How many teams in basketball has the city of San Diego lost?
In the history of the NBA?
Yeah, it's only, NBA is only like, what, 50, 60 years old?
How many
teams have they lost?
The Rockets.
Who else?
And there's got to be more than the Rockets. I'm thinking.
Keep thinking. Keep those wheels turning.
Yeah, I don't know. Who else did they have? So they had an ABA team, didn't they?
I wasn't thinking about ABA.
But that's not. And they had the Clippers.
Bingo. I thought you'd get it in five seconds.
No, the Clippers was actually the easier of the two. All right, so that's 3-0. Kyrie, do you see what's happening here, by the way?
Yeah, and I was screaming Clippers. I obviously, you couldn't hear me, but I was screaming like, Dave, Clippers.
Louder, go louder for a little help. All right, let's continue along, and let's go to Stamford to bring in Ryan. Ryan, I'm 3-0, and I'm ready for you. Where are you going?
Dave, this is a tough one.
Uh-oh.
What is
Where are we going?
Name?
Where are we going?
Basketball, NBA.
Okay.
New York Knicks trivia.
All right.
What is the name of the center that started for the Knicks in their last game?
What? I mean, what is this nonsense? That's horrendous.
What is?
I mean, what is the name of the center who started for the Knicks? I mean, what is happening here? That's awful. All right, let's continue along. Let's go to Scott and Clifton. Scott, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Yes, can you name the weapons used in fencing?
So an épée, a foil, and a saber, I believe.
You got it.
And there we go. Big fencing guy.
Wow.
What? That's not that hard, honestly.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, you should be, but that's not all that difficult.
I guess
you're that wowed by that, huh?
I mean,
they're each different.
Doesn't
like
take much, I guess.
Each different rules. Like it's completely different. Different games, really. I guess you could say. All right, so that's 4-0. Do we maybe 5-0? Actually, do we call it or do we push it here?
No, we got to do one more.
We, 5-0. You want me to get one wrong?
No. If you do 5-0, then you are indeed.
But it's already been a success, no?
Oh, big success. But I think the 5-0
is where I separate myself.
Correct.
All right. So let's go to Bob and Butler. Bob, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
What up, Uncle Dave?
What's up, man?
I got a television question for you.
All right.
On the Andy Griffith Show, what was the full name of the town drunk?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't even know who it was.
Come on, you can picture
that guy. I can picture him. He wore that weird tie, but I don't know.
Otis Campbell.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, you play it so demonstratively. So that's 4-1. Do we stop there?
Redeem yourself. One more. You can do it.
Because now
we're going to quick.
This is like gambling. Because now you're 4-0. You press it. Now you lose. Now you go all in.
Dave,
next, I want to have a shirt.
Man,
I know how it
this.
Works with you.
You got this.
All right. Brett in Roslyn. Brett, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How are you? You're the best.
Thanks, Brett.
All right.
Where are we going? Where are we going?
We're going Mets World Series trivia.
Well, there's not a lot of choices. Okay.
Well, they won it twice, right, in 69 and 86.
Yeah.
What did they What did the two World Series MVPs have in common?
I'm going to guess not on the team the following year.
That could be true, but that's not the answer to my question.
But that's not really fair, is it?
Well, I don't know. I think Clendenin was still on the team in 70, wasn't he?
Honestly, I don't know. But if that's accurate, then that question is unfair. So what? But I got to be honest with you, and it's not because I don't love this question. But what's the answer that you were looking for?
They wore the same uniform number, 22.
All right. I don't feel like that's ultimately all that fair of a question, but that's fine. See, this is what happens. Now, Kai, you ruined this for me.
No,
this is all your fault,
because
I wanted to stop, and you wouldn't let me stop, and I doubled down. I had the 11. You made me double. I pushed my chips in, and now I'm 4-2.
You're right. It's my fault. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
You promised that it was going to end on a high.
We were rolling, man. I got
But I'm not
it.
Perfect. I mean,
You were answering a melange of questions.
You look at you. You've done well with that. See, this is what I do. I provide you with brilliant vocabulary words, and you retain them and regurgitate them weeks later. Have you used the word melange
use it all the time.
Do you really?
My wife just rolls her eyes at this point.
And I gave it to you?
You did.
So some way, you travel around with me having given you knowledge that you bring to the table. In everyday life,
that's why I wanted you to go 5-0.
Yeah, I couldn't. 4-2. We'll call it right now. That's very unfortunate. Now I do want to let you know, Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of the one and only Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through careful legal planning. To get in touch with Andrew M. Cohen, call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. Did you know he was the lead attorney in the Lindbergh case? Did you know that back in the late 20s?
I did not know that. I just found out about the Simpson last week.
You know, yes, Simpson and the Lindbergh baby. That's a fascinating case. You know anything about the Lindbergh baby?
I have the slightest idea.
You know who Charles Lindbergh is, right?
I don't, man.
So he traveled around that may have been either from here to Europe or went all the way around the globe. And he left from where Roosevelt Field is on Long Island. And he was living in New Jersey, and someone snuck into his baby's room, took the baby, and it was the biggest story ever. Took the baby, and the baby wound up getting killed. And it was like, it was the first trial of the century, is what it was.
That's depressing.
You know, like we have all these, with O.J. Simpson's the trial of the century. This is the trial of the century. That's where the term was coined. The first ever trial of the century was a Lindbergh baby. And the man convicted, Bruno Richard Hauptmann, with two N's if you're scoring at home. I've read a lot of documents on it. I'm not convinced that he did it, and neither are a lot of other people. So there you go. My little nerdiness came out. All right. From that we go. Are you ready for a frenzy? I think we're all ready for a frenzy.
I think we're ready for a frenzy.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. 800-919-3776. Any NFL question you have, but no fantasy questions, please, because nobody cares. I got Ezekiel Elliott, Dave. Do I start, Ronald Jones? Nobody cares about your fantasy team, but good solid NFL questions that we care about. So let's go. 800-919-3776. Rapid fire around the horn we go. NFL questions, frenzy time. We do that next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, let's go. It is frenzy time. Football frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Rapid fire. No, hey, how are you, Kai? You know what happens if anybody were to do that. They know better at this point. Let's go. That's it. Michael in Bayonne. Michael, you're on the frenzy.
Yeah, within the next 5 years, do you think the Jets will ever hire Rex Ryan again?
No. There is no chance that Rex Ryan is back with the Jets. James in Hillsborough. James, you're on the frenzy.
Dave, if the Eagles lose to the Bills tomorrow, is their season over?
If the Eagles lose to the Bills tomorrow, their season is over. Yes. They'll be 3-5. They will be completely, completely done. Absolutely. They're on the verge. They might win tomorrow and still not make the playoffs. If they lose tomorrow, done. Carlos in Queens. Carlos, you're on the frenzy.
Which wide receiver is more likely to come back this season, Antonio Brown or Josh Gordon?
Gordon. You're not seeing Brown this season. Gordon has a chance to make a return. James in Queens. James, you're on the Frenzy.
Is this Matt Ryan's last season as a starting quarterback?
No. Matt Ryan's last season as a starting quarterback? No. Nikki Fallow on Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. If Sam stinks, is it fair to say he's not the answer at QB? If Sam has a bad game tomorrow, guys, he started 16 games in the NFL. No. Check back with me at the end of the year. If Sam stinks the rest of the season, is bad, the rest of the, has one good game, the rest are garbage against the Bengals and the Raiders and the Giants and the Dolphins. If you get to the end of the year and you say, man, I don't know if he, let's talk then. But we are not there at all. Let's go Dave and Edgemont. Dave, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, Dave, love the show. I've been a Vikings fan.
Hi. That was textbook of what you don't do, wasn't it?
Oh, to the T.
I mean, that was the definition of you don't, we joke around. Not, hey Dave, how you doing? Love the show. That guy, hey Dave, love the show. You don't do it, you get right into it. Like Alex in Longview. Alex, you're on the Frenzy.
Dave, who loses first, the Patriots or the 49ers?
I actually don't, do you have their schedules in front of you? I don't have their schedules in front of me. I mean, let me quickly try to bring this up. I would say the Niners will lose first just because the Patriots are going to be favored in every single game. There's going to be, the Niners are not going undefeated. And I'm not saying the Patriots will either, but at least they have a fighting chance. So you think they win tomorrow, go to 7-0. Then they're at the Cardinals on a short week. Then they host the Seahawks. Then they host the Cardinals. Then they host the Packers. Then they go to the Ravens. So look, I mean, realistically, San Francisco could win tomorrow, go to 7. Beat the Cardinals, they should go to 8. Against the Seahawks at home, they could be 9. Home to the Cardinals, I mean, it could be 10. You could be looking at a 10-0 Niners team hosting the Packers on November 24th. And then you have the Ravens in Baltimore. They'll absolutely lose one of those two. And if they don't lose one of those two, the week after on December 8th at New Orleans, then that will be your first loss. So they're not going undefeated. I wouldn't even put that in my mind. Let's go to Paul in Jersey City. Paul, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, do you think that the Colts could be Super Bowl contenders behind Jacoby Brissett?
Not this year, but I think in the future if they continue to build that team around him. And I got to be honest, he's good. This is not like he's good in replacement of Andrew Luck. He's good, period. End of sentence. All right, so there we have it. An abbreviated Frenzy, but a good solid Frenzy nonetheless, in the football Frenzy, thank you. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, a team above all, a team at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Visit mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, driven to perfection since way back in 1968. We go out to Vegas. We bring RJ Bell into the mix. We do it next, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Like on a Jupiter and Mars.
Oh, that's right.
In other words,
Rothenberg and RJ Bell. Those are the other words.
Hold my
doesn't it feel just right? Saturday mornings, me and you, Lil Frank. In
other words, absolutely. And I'll say this. A lot of people believe the old analog recording stuff, you know, non-digital. You just listen to the warmth of that. Oh. Does anything sound like that today?
It's delicious, isn't it?
Really, I love it. I love it.
I as well. All right, so here we go. I'm going to bring up the game. I'm going to give one line or less, and then you also are going to quickly analyze, and then we move on.
Sounds good.
You think we can do this?
Again, I always have to choose, do I hold this information for my own or share it? And I tend to err towards sharing it, but apparently you keep encouraging me not to. So
no, I'm going to also, my friend, I'm going to go in the order that I'm comfortable with. Is that okay for you?
Yeah. So you figure, hey, the whole world does the rotation order,
yeah,
but now it's the day, we'll call it the DR number.
There you go. All right. What makes me comfortable is starting with the Seahawks and the Falcons. So I'm going to have a couple of quick points on this, then you'll take it over, and then we'll rapidly run through the game.
Yes.
Motivation's got to be a key for me here. You got the Matt Ryan injury here as well, and what fight, because the Falcons are done, they're not going to the playoffs, what fight do they have for their coach Dan Quinn. That's my analysis of this game right there in a nutshell.
I think you're right on. And I get the idea professionals are supposed to, they're getting millions, and I show up for work with the jackhammer every day. True enough. And I do believe there's a lot of unsung heroes with that kind of thing. But these pros are who they are, and sometimes they're not motivated. Now, I find teams don't go entire half seasons or third of seasons unmotivated. It's usually a game or two after their dreams are crushed. I would make the case that's where Atlanta is right now. It's hard to bet a team where the motivation isn't sure. So to me, it's favored or pass in this game.
All right, Chargers, Bears. I got to tell you, I love this game. I love the Bears laying four. I think the Chargers are that team. I think they are done. I don't know about Keenan Allen. I think we're on the verge of this might be the end for Phillip Rivers. They had a golden opportunity last week. They blew it. I believe the Bears are in a must-win bounce-back situation, and I think they do by at least a touchdown here.
Now, it's funny. I could completely agree. I could agree with you.
But you won't.
I kind of do, but Fezzik at pregame.com, he's our leading NFL analyst, only guy to win the Super Contest twice. It's that simple. The contest in Vegas for the NFL. He's won it twice. No one else has. He is excellent. He loves the Chargers. For him, it's all about the trend line on the injuries. Because we all just say Chargers, but who are the Chargers? It's who ends up going onto the field on a given game, and the O-line's been banged up, and he believes that psychologically, when you feel like you ever do whatever, right? Maybe it's you're having a Saturday night when you were in high school, whatever it was, and it was like, well, Steve's not here. If Steve was here, it would be fun. If Steve shows up, you're kind of excited for that next hour to see, was it Steve's absence? I think, if anything, if the Chargers didn't have any reason to say, well, here's why things have been bad, maybe they would be flat. But since they're getting healthier, I think that does enthuse a team. So I'm going to stay away, but I agree with your side conceptually, and I agree with his. They're in conflict.
All right, we touched on the Giants and the Lions already, the Barkley injury, the Lions all banged up. We've done that game. You said Giants, if you can get seven, Lions otherwise. Jets, Jaguars. Now, this line, you have 6.5, right?
Yes.
Okay. I know, because you tipped your hand yesterday on the show, that you like the Jaguars here. I don't. I actually like the Jets. Look, you are humiliated. You're the laughingstock of the NFL. Your quarterback's saying he's seeing ghosts. I mean, this thing is on the verge of spiraling. I don't think the Jets win, RJ, but you look at the Jaguars. No Jalen Ramsey. Marcell Dareus is going to be out. Am I really going to buy into Gardner Minshew as a guy that's going to beat up on teams? I think the Jaguars win, but I would take the Jets and the points here.
I would say most sharps agree with you. And to me, one of the things I've learned, you got to find that third of the games, one out of three, that you either are on the other side of the sharps or you're staying off the game, because it feels like amongst all the sharp handicaps, this is the one I believe in least. So let me attack with a smile the whole idea of, and let's look at our tenses here, is this could spiral out of control, is what you said. How do we know it hasn't? Meaning internally. And what I would say is, if you're Sam Darnold, and I probably am turning into the Sam Darnold skeptic, because I'm almost getting pushed into it, because I'm just trying to be reasonable. What I say, and again, I'm not saying I'm always right, but when someone's trying to be reasonable, it means at least they think they're right. Let me pose this to you. Look at the top dozen quarterbacks in the NFL right now, the top 12, and tell me who in the middle of their second season amongst those 12 was playing as bad as Darnold is. Or, and I'm not saying
it's a very valid point, but I will retort by saying, how many of those guys who started their first year as the quarterback have missed this many games like Darnold has? I mean, he missed games last year, and he missed a number of games this year.
Well, that sounds like availability, durability.
And
whatever.
I think that's fine. But he had the foot injury last year, which wasn't major, and he had the mono this year, which is, you know, a once in a lifetime kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not saying you're 100% wrong. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I have seen, I mean, the week before against Dallas, he was terrific. So,
well, Fitzpatrick's
year,
had some, really, is Darnold's good games better than Fitzpatrick's?
All right, but Fitzpatrick's had some really good games.
So, are you going to go to a Super Bowl with Fitzpatrick? I mean, that's the whole
point.
No, you're
not going to go to the playoffs with Fitzpatrick.
I would make the following case. I think Darnold could be a late teens level quarterback for 5, 6, 8 years. But you don't go to the Super Bowl with that. Tell me, or you might go, you don't win them.
Well,
right?
I mean, there's a couple, but that's the outlier again.
Well, which ones, though? In the last 15
well,
years.
Johnson was not a great quarterback.
I agree.
Trent Dilfer was not a great
quarterback. But how important was passing in 2001, 2003?
And let's be fair, even though he was great during the run, Nick Foles is not a great quarterback.
Now, that is the hare in the suit. Because if you just look at his performance, especially in the Super Bowl, it was one of the five best performances we've ever seen in the Super Bowl. So,
but hasn't been and will not be a great quarterback.
True. So here's the point. If you look at every other non-great quarterback with the benefit of hindsight that played in the Super Bowl, there's hardly any great performance. In fact, there's no great. There's hardly any good. I mean, think about having to block that Bears quarterback everyone hated against Peyton Manning.
Rex Grossman.
Yes, Rex Grossman. That's it. Rex Grossman will make the Super Bowl, but they don't win the Super Bowl. Nick Foles is more Rex Grossman than anything. So
he's the
one exception.
He's the outlier.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
With barons or earls, won't go to Harlem.
Rothenberg and Bell with you, 98.7 ESPN, RJ as you figure, live in Las Vegas, in the RJ Bell Hour on the Dave Rothenberg Show, 98.7 ESPN, powered by Sportsbook 360 at Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort has a new way to play at Sportsbook 360, now open 7 days a week. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort, playtime elevated, gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, must be 21 or over to gamble. You want to take a call or two with 11 words or less?
Absolutely.
And then we got to get right back to the games.
Absolutely.
Here we go. Brian Oceanside, 11 words or less, Brian.
What game this week are you staying away from and why?
Oh, okay. I love that one. Because sometimes it's you don't have a great feel for a game or the teams in it. And sometimes it's you have strong feelings in both directions. We already talked Giants. That's a game that meets that criteria. I would also say Carolina and San Francisco does for me. Now, the sharp side unequivocally is Carolina. They are so much better right now, at least with Cam. 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread. Also, though, they're in a great spot, off a bye, all kind of scenarios. San Francisco's had, in the last three games, this being the fourth, this might be 4 out of 4 regarding motivation. Meaning, if you look back to the Monday night Cleveland game, the game to L.A., and then the sneaky motivation of the Shanahan revenge against Washington, maybe San Fran's a little flat. But I think San Fran's underrated still, thus it pulls me in two different directions. I'm staying away.
Bengals-Rams. You want my analysis quickly of this one? I mean,
Bengals stink.
Well, they're terrible. I mean, they're not even competitive. They get destroyed in most of these games. Joe Mixon looks like he's not capable. Dalton is done. They're all banged up. I mean, I get the numbers 13. See, for me, I'd stay away from this game because you got the trip overseas, and that gets me a little nervous. You know, Rams will win. The question is by how many. So I'd stay away from you're right. The Bengals are a terrible football team. Not only are they a bad team, RJ, they're a terrible organization.
And I do believe since they were in the second tier of bad teams early in the year, meaning the thought was, okay, there's the Miami Dolphins, and they're so bad. And then there's everyone else, but they're not as bad as the Dolphins. I'm not so sure, because the ineptness of the coaching, and that's the thing. We actually spent some time on our show and researched the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator, what their pedigree was. And it was like, and I can't quote this, but it was like literally one of those 50-year academy type situations a guy was the DC at like 8 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. Doesn't mean he can't be good. There's a great Sopranos line. They were talking about Bobby Bacala. They go, wasn't he a head waiter 5 years ago? And the other guy goes, yeah, and you were selling laser printers out of the back of your Crown Vic 5 years ago. So, yeah, I get it. But usually coaching is a pedigreed ascension. And man, the Bengals are bad. And oh, by the way, against McVay, you don't want that.
All right, let's go. 11 words or less. Stuart in Jersey. Stuart, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf? More receiving yards rest of season.
I love the way when they have less than 11, they taunt you a little at the beginning, Dave. It's like, hey, guys. Yes.
It's a throwaway, right?
Yeah, they don't need it, right? They don't, Milton Burrow style, right? They don't need it.
I think Lockett is the better receiver, and he's the number one on that team. That's where I would go.
I guess the question is, why does it matter?
Well, for fantasy, but we're trying to avoid the
fantasy. Yeah, you know, again, I'm not, I think there's a lot of Vegas stuff you can kind of apply to fantasy, but again, it's tough enough to be expert at one thing. I don't try to venture into that area.
All right, let's go. Buccaneers, Titans. Honestly, for me, I would go nowhere near this. I'm betting real money. Now, I took them against Canty and Rick because I just don't trust Tampa. I mean, they were so bad. He just doesn't get it. I have no confidence in Winston, and I actually have more confidence in Tannehill. I like Vrabel, and they're home, so I took it against the guys, but for actual money, I wouldn't take this game at all. This is a weird game.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We can scoff at people sometimes and say, oh, McVay, he had a cup of coffee with McVay, but you know, he's good. Well, really? Come on. What are we doing with Vrabel and Belichick? Meaning, unless I'm mistaken, and I don't think I am in this case, is he, Vrabel never coached with Belichick, right? I know he played for him, but...
He was never on the staff?
I can't be sure. I'm almost certain I'm right, but let's say he wasn't a coordinator, at minimum. So, to me, I just wonder how much of it, if we didn't know of the Belichick connection, right, whatever it is, would we be looking at this Tennessee team as like,
he
man,
was not,
it's
by
been,
the way, Ohio State, Houston, and then Tennessee. So you're right.
Yeah. So the question, and isn't it interesting, Dave? You're in the top 10%, no doubt, of knowledgeable, learned radio guys. But in our minds, we're thinking he coached with them.
Well, he learned from him, and he.
But
was
how much
leader.
Do you learn as a player?
Learned a lot, though, and you know, but even. You know, irrespective of that, he's a smart guy. And I don't think they're the most talented teams. And he typically gets a lot out of teams that I think are not all that great.
Or could it be that he's not getting a lot out of it, but we think he is? Because they haven't had 10 wins, right? I mean, remember, he got hired, correct me if I'm wrong, the team made the playoffs a year before.
Yeah.
Yeah? So... At some point when you
But they're a lousy team, and I don't trust Mariota, and he has them in the mix every single year. I don't know. Maybe I like him more than...
I like him too. I'm just starting to wonder how right I am. But real quick, Tampa is probably the sneaky team that Vegas likes the most. Meaning, if you think about a couple weeks ago, they were only a 3-point underdog at New Orleans. And I get the whole Bridgewater thing. He's evolved. But boy... The Sharps are on Tampa big time. It's also strength of schedule. Tennessee has one of the easiest, Tampa one of the hardest.